Okay. I'm going to be presenting. I have two presentations in this slide deck, as Mary pointed out, but I'm more interested in getting through the first one, but I added slides there just in case we have time. So this issue came about from the offer-answer draft that is edited by Paul. So Paul dropped me an email, and he said that he didn't really have time to basically engage in mailing list discussions to resolve the last issue, which is the rollback issue. So he asked me if I could actually put some cycles on that. So I actually, you have probably seen, I mean, started a few threads on the list. We had a lot of emails. And just to basically see what were the points people were making in order to resolve this issue. So basically, I've tried to document all the issues here. I have two alternative proposals, and hopefully we can basically resolve that. So the issue is to roll back or not to roll back offer answers in re-invite when you get a 400. So I'm going to try to characterize the problem, because people were talking past each other even in the definition of the problem. So basically, the question is, what are the semantics of an error response to a re-invite? We got a question from 3GBP some time ago, and basically this is what triggered all this issue. So basically, RFC 3261 says that basically, I mean, all the state changes, which is in bold down there, associated with a re-invite transaction, they are rolled back, which includes transactions within the re-invite, so updates and stuff like that. And basically the question is, what are the state changes that they are associated with that invite transaction? Mary.
Okay, sorry.
Next slide, please. Yeah. So the changes that they can be done is dialog target refreshes, and it's generally acknowledged that this is a different kind of problem, so we will deal with this separately. And the one that has been discussed on the mailing list is the offer answer exchanges. So basically when you have a re-invite, you can have a lot of updates there, you know, embedded transactions, and you have changes to the offer answer state, which is the session state. Next slide, please. So basically, as it's defined in RFC 3261, basically you have to roll back all the changes you made, which basically this diagram shows it. You have a re-invite, you have an update request, and then you have actually a 400, so you have to revert to state one. Next slide, please. So there's two issues with that. The first one is the error response actually is modifying the session parameters. So effectively, we have already committed, executed some changes, and the 400 error response or whatever error response is changing those session parameters. So effectively, we are changing the session parameters with that 400 response. The problem is that the user agent client cannot reject those changes. It just gets the 400, and it cannot say, hey, I don't want to roll back. The second issue is that the glare detection mechanisms, they take into account offers and answers, but they don't take into account 400 responses. So basically, you could have a glare, and I will go through all the glare conditions, where somebody's sending a 400, which, as I said, it changes the session state. I'm sending at the same time an offer, or in this case, an offer, and there's no glare condition avoidance to avoid that. Next slide. Yes. Okay. So basically, when the session modification custom cannot be rejected, this is a similar issue to offers in 200 OK responses. And that was already addressed by 3261, just by saying that, you know, if you do that, please send an offer which is kind of very easy to accept. So it overlaps with the session description already in use. So that's not really a big issue, and it exists anyway in SIP. Next slide, please.
Yeah.
So basically, we have an easy solution. In case you know you get the 400 error response, you can always send an update and actually revert to whatever session state you have. So this is typically seen as a minor issue. And then the next one, which is basically the major issue we have here. We have three types of glare conditions. Some of them, they are very easy to detect, because basically, one of the sites sees something strange. For example, in this case, actually, you sent an update and you get the 400 response before you actually get the response to the update. So basically, some of the parties, in the first one, both of them, and in the second one, actually, at least one of them, sees that something's wrong. They detect the glare condition, and basically they can do something about it. Next slide. Okay, so here is the same thing. Actually, one of the sites, in this case the left one, the user agent client, can see that sends an update and gets actually a 400 in the meantime. So these are conditions that they can be detected easily by one of the ends, so it's not a problem. Next one. The next one is the nasty one, actually. So this is when you have a proxy, actually, and since 400 responses are acknowledged hop-to-hop, you can have the situation where the user agent server sees the 400 acknowledged transaction before the update 200 OK, while the other one, which is the user agent client, sees that the update transaction completes before the 400 acknowledgement, right? So you can see here that for one side, the state should be whatever state the 400 actually causes, which is that you roll back all the changes. While in the user agent server, the state would be the state of the update request because it's the last transaction. So this is actually the nasty clear condition situation that people were talking about on the list. Next slide, please. So basically, there are two alternative solutions that they have been proposed, and this is what we need to think about. The first one basically is to keep with the semantics, I mean, to stick to the semantics that 3261 defines. So basically, the 400 means a full rollback. And the other one would be to change the semantics and basically avoid rolling back at all. And then there's been additional proposals that I will discuss them here, which basically consist of like classifying the types of changes you can make in offer answer and saying if you do this kind of change, do that. If you do that kind of change, do that. That's really overly complicated, and it would really be a nightmare for backwards compatibility, so I'm not considering this because the consensus seems to be not to go down that path. But anyway, let's look at both possibilities. The first one is clarify current specifications. So we stick to 400 OK, basically rolls back the state. And actually, for this, I would like to step back for a second and think why we have a problem. The problem is that basically it's very clear that if you execute all the changes that a reinvite proposed, you send a 200 OK. If you execute none of the changes, you send a 400. What happens if I execute some of the changes? So basically, next slide, the idea is that you actually don't send a 400 OK, because this is what a 400 error response, which is what is causing all the problems. You would send a 200 OK, actually. Because basically, the 200 OK doesn't revert any state back. So basically, what people have been looking for, which was an error response that basically didn't roll back all the state, it already exists, and it's a 200 OK. So basically, the confusion came about because people just assumed that if reinvite asked for, you know, change A, B, C, and you only perform A, B, you needed to basically send the error response. So basically, by sending a 200 OK to the reinvite, plus maybe update request if you want to change something, maybe we would be okay. The fact that you want to send updates instead of 400 OKs to change session parameters, it's because 3261 already has the glare conditions, glare condition avoidance mechanisms for update requests because they are offers, but it doesn't for 400 responses. That's why basically by using a 200 OK plus updates, you basically resolve the problem. Next slide, please. So the problem, people brought it up on the mailing list as well, is like, okay, that's fine, but what happens if the user agent client sends a cancel? A cancel would basically trigger a 400 response anyway. Well, actually, the last bullet here is like, well, you don't really need to reply with a 487. You can always reply to a 200 because basically the fact that you are sending a cancel doesn't mean that you will get a 400. You could get a 200. So this is a completely, fully backwards compatible mechanism, sending the 200. Or if you insist in sending a 487, it doesn't really matter because the user agent client actually is the one sending the cancel. So hopefully it's not going to trigger an invite at this, an update at the same time to cause a glare condition. The backwards compatibility basically... So the idea would be that through the reinvite transaction, you haven't made any changes, it's safe to send a 400. If not, please don't do it and send a 200 because actually you have already accepted some of the changes. So that would be the clarification to the current specs. We don't change at all the semantics of 3261, but just clarify what to do because basically this is an open issue. There's been a lot of discussions and absolutely it's not clear. The next option would be to change those semantics and say 400 from now on, instead of meaning, you know, basically the changes were not executed, it means nothing, basically, which is the no rollback solution which was proposed on the list. So basically this means that, you know, at this point, message number 5, we sent a 400 and nothing happens. Basically 400 means nothing. That's the proposal, no rollback. Next slide. This proposal has a set of problems. The first problem is that basically the semantics of an error response to an initial invite would be somewhat different than the semantics to a re-invite. Why? Because basically the semantics to an invite means full rollback, meaning that there's no session, so the state goes to as the state was before the invite, so no session at all the early media streams, for example, are killed. While if this is a re-invite, actually it would be completely different. It would be like a no operation request. So that's the first problem. The second one, not so fast. The second one is that basically legacy user agent clients complying with 3261 may be confused because the 400 OK for them is a rollback, and now we are specifying something different. Next slide. And then in normal circumstances, basically, so that means without preconditions, a 200 OK response and a 400 response would be exactly the same. So basically, we are creating some mechanism for something that we already have. So we want a response that doesn't modify the session state, which is a 200, and now we would be creating a 400 response to do exactly the same. And then, so basically, it's a way forward. The first approach would be what I explained before, explaining how to use basically the current specifications as they are, how to basically, when you have to return 400, when you have to return 200. And the second approach would be to specify, as I said, new different semantics, meaning that 400 OKs from now, I keep on saying 400 OK, 400 error responses from now on would mean no rollback. So these are the two approaches. I realize that this presentation is too short actually to have a more thorough analysis. That's why I put all the call flows there so that people can have a look at them and offline. But I would like to really get input from the room. So first was Robert, then Andrew. Robert?
So one data point for two. There are clients already deployed that will allow you to re-invite an audio session to add a video stream. They will ask, the endpoint that receives that re-invite will put up a dialog box and wait for permission to proceed. Yeah. If you have sent this re-invite and you want out of the game, and we do something that makes cancel not get you out of the game, what are these clients going to do? I mean, what kind of experience are we going to create for these people?
So you're pointing out a problem with this approach as well, the second approach.
For the second approach. Yeah. I suspect that second approach has way more dragons in it than we've already uncovered is kind of the point. And I was bringing up one specific one.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Andrew.
So just for my clarification, so instead of sending a 4XX, like a 488 response to an update that you, if you didn't like one of the media types, you would send a 200 OK, but in that 200 OK, you would have the SDP that indicated that you had not accepted one of the media types.
Okay,
right?
When I'm talking about 200 OKs and 400, I'm talking to the response to the re-invite, not to the update.
He's going to have to do that.
Okay. Okay, but the response would still be what you would have put into the 4XX response, right?
Yeah, but I mean, the 4XX or the 200 OK response, they wouldn't have an SDP body there.
We didn't get them in time for us.
Because of the typical rules of 3261, actually.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So any more input, feedback, comments? Okay, the thing is like we need to respond to 3GBP, so I will take this issue to the list briefly and then make a decision and basically move forward. Mary.
That's fine. I'm sorry.
Next slide, please.
Well,
I can't
drive. People are concerned because they don't have your slides. The remote people.
They didn't.
No,
okay.
Oscar didn't get a chance to upload them.
Okay.
Because we got them so late.
Okay. I'll try to upload them right now. Okay, next slide.
Okay.
Yeah. And real quickly, in those mailing list discussions, there was another issue, so I wanted to document it because people were concerned with that, which is that basically it has to do with preconditions. Yes. So the background is that basically the states, when we are using preconditions, are not met, preconditions are met, and then media parameters are in use. The main issue is that when we have an initial invite, it's very easy to see when the state changes. They go from one state to each other. So basically, the preconditions are not met, you would get a 183. When they are met, you would get a 180 because the user is being alerted. And then basically when you start using the parameters is when you get the 200 OK or you establish the early median. So next slide, please. So the problem is that when we have a session modification, basically, it doesn't work like that. So next slide, please. Yeah. We have an issue because basically when, like Robert was pointing out, when somebody gets a re-invite with several changes, so it's not only actually maybe adding a new media stream or whatever, it's changing two things. One of the things, for example, let's say a new IP address for an audio stream could be changed right away when the preconditions are met, while the other may need, for example, user input, which could be adding a new video stream. So that means that you cannot really know when the media parameters, I mean, once the preconditions have been met, when the media parameters are going to be used. The original design for preconditions was that basically the endpoints they figured is out at the media level and that's it. This is exactly the same problem as we had with ICE when the endpoints they were figuring out what addresses to use and then
I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, this is failing all the time. Anyway, yeah. This is the same problem as ICE when the endpoints could figure out which address pairs they were going to use, but the SBCs in between, they couldn't. So basically what the draft describes is that, you know, it's possible, as we did in ICE, basically send an offer answer exchange so that...
Did someone unplug it?
Oh, it died. Okay, but anyway, the proposal was to use an offer answer exchange to be explicit on when the media conditions are used, the new media parameters. So please have a look at the draft. It is basically, I mean, it could be informational, BCP, it doesn't need to be really, I mean, it doesn't modify anything. So does anybody have any feedback on that? It's quite a very, I mean, it's a very simple draft. Yeah, Christer?
Not really specific to this, but I think both of these drafts may have impact on the offer answer draft, we need to make sure that gets through. And I guess this is also something which could be, this draft could also be clarified inside that. But then, of course, if we need some normative text somewhere, that's okay. But I think it would be good to have both your presentations, the clarification that comes out of them in the offer answer draft.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, I mean, this came about from that draft, and basically the idea is to explain that, and probably, I mean, if we go down the path that people seem to agree with, we will publish this somehow.
Right, and in the new model, some of this is going to fall into SIP core then, right, if we make the semantic changes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Stephen Norris. Why would anybody do the first bullet point to start using the media before you've received a 200 okay or even send us to 200 OK. Why would you start to use that?
Why would
media?
You do that? Yeah. So let's say that, for example, we are engaged on an audio conversation, right? Voice-only stream. And then I send you a re-invite that changes the IP address and adds a video stream. So we start negotiating quality of service for both of them. Once I have the quality of service for the new IP address, I can start actually using the audio right away. Because, I mean, it doesn't make sense to wait because I can already execute the change. While in order to add the video stream, I need your user agent needs your user input. So in that case, you would be actually starting using the new changes at the audio level much earlier than at the video level. So that was what people were concerned about. As I said, I mean, I picked up this from the thread that we were initiating and I wanted to document it so that people understand and we acknowledge, I mean, the issue. Yeah, Ronnie.
Ronnie Evan, I heard what Krista was saying. I don't understand why it's the difference between what's happening currently in offer answer, because that's how offer answer works. You can start the moment you receive the new media line. You can use it. I mean, yeah. You don't have to wait to 200 OK before using
exactly.
It. So the side who sends that is supposed to be ready to get that. So there's
absolutely, and we are not changing that. That's what I said, that this is a very, I mean, it's not a change at all. It's just explaining you that, you know, if you are doing that, you may want to generate this extra offer answer exchange so that, you know, back-to-back user agents in the middle, they can know, you know, what's going on. As I said, this is exactly the change that we did in ICE some time ago to be more explicit. And well, basically, I mean, you go to the last slide.
Okay, sorry.
I mean, I had some extra details. You can skip this one. Yeah, skip this one. Oops. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was it.
That was it. Okay. Okay, Krista, you're up.
What's the handling on the last issue we're just going? What's the handling?
What's the,
He's asking the handling on the. You actually need to go to the mic. He wants to know the handling on that last issue. Right. What was the conclusion for the last issue?
Well, I mean, if you were to take a hammer. Or
something, I mean, how many people have read this and feel comfortable making a decision on this, the way to go for this? Okay. Yeah. So there's two people. So.
This has been an issue that very few people have been involved in, but they have generated a lot of email traffic, actually. So basically, you know, Paul and I are on the same page. We've been discussing with Krista as well. There's some people also that they couldn't make it here. So I think we are okay.
Fine.
But just so that the group knows that this issue exists, and if you are interested, you can.
You
can actually. read the slides. Thank
well,
you.
And what we can do too is do like an early review, if you will, in that document, right?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Get more people to look at it. So we'll go ahead and if you can put the conclusion for that as well. To go ahead and do an early review of this document within the working group, within SIP. Yeah, that's fine. Great. Okay.